Psalm 91. And I'm going to read one verse from the King James Version. And then we pray. Let's read together this wonderful verse from this beautiful psalm. Let's read it together. He What a wonderful words from this precious psalm. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for this moment. And we want to spend this half an hour reading your word. Father, we want to hear your voice. Oh, may your Holy Spirit come and visit us this evening. May your holy presence be among us as we read again these beautiful words, these beautiful promises for us. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Psalm 90. This psalm has no title, so we don't know who wrote this psalm. And some people say, well, because it shares some of the themes of Psalm 90, they say, well, it was Moses who wrote this psalm. Those who study the Bible say, because it shares some of the themes in phrases of Psalm 27 and Psalm 31, they say, no, it's David. So there you are. We don't know who wrote the psalm. But this whole collection is so beautiful. And then many people say something about this psalm. And Charles Spurgeon is one of them. He says this: in the whole collection, there is no a more cheering psalm. Its tongue is elevated and sustained throughout. Faith is at its best and it speaks nobly. That's the reason why, you know, I was excited when I was preparing this. This is beautiful words from the Lord. It's from Moses. Well, it describes the 40 years they were wandering in the desert. It was David. Well, we just don't know. But this psalm, the general subject is the psalm is the security. The security that we have. And this is about the spiritual security God's people have when we walk with him. When we are close to him. And this is the psalm. You know, if one day he's coming for us. And then the psalm speaks of our spiritual journey. How close we are with him. But also, it tells us about the dangers when we are not walking close to him. And that's the reason why I feel excited about this psalm. Because in the end, you're gonna see why. And first of all, in this psalm, we have the introduction. The first verse that we just read, I'm going to read now from the another verse. It says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This is the introduction. He says, whoever dwells, he will find a shelter. There are many followers of Christ who seem to know very little of this secret place. And David says, no, it's anyone. David was not perfect. And he can say this. And it's not about, some people say, oh, it's about those people who spend 3, 4, 5 hours in prayer. No, it's for everyone. And David knew this. But also, he says, the shadow of the Almighty. Duncan says, this is an expression which indicates nearness. We must walk very close to a companion. You are walking, you know, we have a hot weather. The last, I lost the count. Beautiful, isn't it? Well, not for so many people who were trapped on the train last week. But, you know, when you are walking with somebody and then it's the sun is shining, if you want to enjoy their shadow, we need to be closer. That's the picture. The shadow of the Almighty. How close are you with God? How close we are to God as a church. And so here, under the shadow of Christ, under his protection, to have your soul under the protection of the Almighty is the most important thing in our life. Our body will decay. I'm noticing. This morning I was with the children. I used to do a lot of holiday clubs and I was struggling. You know, one day our body will be going to the ground. But our soul goes for eternity. That's what David is talking about here. Now, here, he carries on saying something else. Now he says, he's giving a testimony about God's protection. Shall we say together verse 2? I will say. He's saying, I will say it. I will say it that if I am under his protection, he is my refuge. He is my fortress. When we come to Christ, we trust Christ. We don't trust the church. I'm not saying that I have a ticket to heaven because I am Baptist and because, I have been baptized. I don't have a ticket to heaven because I am Anglican. I have been confirmed. I don't have a ticket to heaven because I am Catholic. I do all the sacraments. No, I cannot do that. It's him, what he did. That's what David said. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, not my good deeds. He is my refuge, not because I come to church. He is my refuge. He is my fortress. If I'm concerned about my eternity, Jesus is the only one. That's what the psalmist is saying. But now we come to the third part of this psalm. You know, when he says something, he says, how God brings his protection, comfort, and care. How is it that he does it? He says first, in verse 3, he says, surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. What pestilence? Diseases? What pestilence? Problems? What pestilence? The difficulties we face. He says, surely he will save you from the foulest snare. He's using a picture, the picture of a hunting trapping. That's the picture here. Now, last night I was watching a program about Galapagos. You know Galapagos Island? And there is a program there that a family from the UK, the guy is a biologist and he is doing a research. And it's so beautiful to see how the animals migrate. And he was talking about the turtles migrating. And then, now in Galapagos, they protect. But we know when some birds, for example, they migrate, the people who are hunting, they set traps. And they catch. I was going to put some pictures, but it will be so distressing to see how many, birds. But also, the picture is of a trap, something like that. And here, the trapping of birds, the trapping of animals, if a person is going to do that, this person don't want to be seen by the birds. This person doesn't want to be seen by the animals. That's the picture of Satan. He doesn't want you to see him. He doesn't want me to see him. So he comes and he deceives us. You know, when they set the trap to catch the birds or to catch the animals, you know, in our spiritual lives, we need to consider Satan, the deceiver of our soul, the fallen angel. It's in him who, like the one who traps the birds, he is there to destroy us. And sometimes in the normal things in life, yesterday, when I was preaching here for the wedding, I mentioned that one of the major problems, you know, sometimes we don't realize, sometimes we just live, that one of the major problems in our society is the inability of people to get along with each other. So people don't get along with each other, you know, from the sibling rivalry among children to the petty crimes in the cities to the battles and major confrontations with big countries. The problem is the same. The inability to get along with each other. Divorce. And you know what? John MacArthur, in one of his Bible commentaries, he says that this major problem is the result of three major things. The first thing is immorality. The second thing is anonymity. We don't know that it's there. The next one is alienation. And all these things have to do when people are away from God. They are not under his shadow. Immorality is when people say, well, they don't have absolute moral standards and ethics. They just do whatever they want. And they say, well, this is right for us. Now, this is what we need to do. Immorality. They don't have absolute moral standards. The second problem is anonymity. That some people struggle with their identity. They don't know what they are doing here. They don't have a purpose. They struggle. And the other one is alienation. Because a person away from God, at some point, he or she will become isolated, alienated, because there will be no place that they will feel happy. But when we come to Christ, when we make him our Lord, when we surrender our lives to Jesus, all these three problems cease because we have our moral absolute, which is the Bible. The Bible is our guidance. That's it. I follow what the Bible says because it's rooted in the heart of God, in his attributes, in his nature. So if the Bible tells me not to do something, it's because he loves me. The second thing, anonymity, I am a child of God. I may have a passport that said I am Ecuadorian, I have a passport that said I am British, but my main passport is the heavenly one that said I belong to God. And the next one is alienation. You know, we will never do that because I belong to the family of God. You belong to the family of God. That's the reason why you go to any country and then you find a church who is rooted in God. That's your family. I enter to the churches I go in America, the churches in Ecuador, the churches in Belgium. You know, those are my churches. Because I am not living in alienation. But the devil comes and there is no God. Religion is rubbish. Why to waste your time? The enemy try to destroy you, saying you are the owner of your destiny. Nobody have to tell you. So Satan comes. But the psalmist says he will save you from the fowler's snare. I heard a testimony of somebody who never went to church, and he went to a church, and he says this: I was a stranger to myself until I knew the Lord. This person was there, living okay, and suddenly he heard the gospel and said, I was a stranger to myself. Some people are very intellectual, and they said, I was a fool. Very well-educated people say, I was a fool. One of my friends who is a retired scientist, he says, I was a fool before I surrendered my life to Jesus. The devil fools us in the crowd. Sometimes we feel secure when we have people around. We want to please people. So this is what the enemy of our soul does. He is the father of lies. He is the mother of our souls. He is the prince of the darkness. He is the tempter. He is the one who organizes our lives. And he tries to This is not right, he says. He will save you from the fowler's snare, says the psalmist. We become addicted to our sins. Sexual sins is your right. You are good. You don't know. God doesn't own you anything. Where is God when this happened to you? Satan starts putting a trap like a bird, like an animal. That's what the picture of the psalmist is saying to us. We need a rescuer. And that's what the psalmist says. Let's read it together. Whoever dwells. He will change your character. He will change the way you live. He will give you a purpose. And he says, verse 4, he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and ramparts. What a wonderful promise. He will enable you with understanding about God, about you. He will give you a purpose. You enter into a new world. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. And now he says in verse 5 and 6, you will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrows that fly by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midnight. What a wonderful promise. You will go into God's problems, but he will be with you. And he carries on, says, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near to you. I feel excited about those verses. We used to play in a band, in a Christian band in Ecuador. We used to go mad with a song based on this one. You know, he's our rescuer. Oh, you know, and to sing to sometimes, even when we were, you know, in the naval bases, singing away, you know, that he is with us. And I feel so sad when there is no enthusiasm in the church of God. You will pass through many tribulations, says the Lord, but I will be with you. But here, he's speaking about our spiritual life. Yes, we have diseases. It's not that we are free. I am not well. This week, I'm going for a blood test. Perhaps you are not well. But he's saying that our spiritual life will be okay. Do you not feel excited about it? Because our body is going to, let's say, this body is going to go one day. And then your body will be glorified. I don't know how it's going to be. Maybe it's going to be handsome, you know, in the other life. You know? I'm going to be stronger. I don't know. Can you feel? I feel excited about it. But he says this. Let's read verse 19. If you say, he is with us. And he says, yes, we are going to make mistakes. You are going to make mistakes. I said to the couple yesterday, you are going to make mistakes. But God is there to forgive us, to restore us. He wants to bring unity in our families, in our churches. He wants to bring a wholeness in our lives. Look at this promise, verse 11. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. What a wonderful promise. That maybe people try to do something against you, but he will send his angels. The angels are surrounding you. If you are walking close to the Lord. And verse 14 is the one I love. Because God doesn't want me to go to him to tick in the boxes. I've been to church. I've been a member. I've been a minister, a regional minister. I've been a superintendent. You remember the old language, or whatever, a deacon, an elder. He wants our love. And how we demonstrate our love? Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commandments. That's it. In the UK, in America, in Latin America, in Asia, that's what the Lord wants from us. In Luke verse 14, because he loves me, he's talking about you, talking about me. Or because she loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will rescue her. I will protect him. I will protect her for he or because she acknowledged my name. You must come to Christ. We must come to Christ. We must surrender. If we don't do it,
we will be walking far away from him, and his protection will not be there. Penrose Baptist Church, we need to surrender so we can walk close to him, and we are going to do wonderful things in his name. May the Lord help us to do that. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Why Isaiah was so special to me? Well, when I was a child, I lived 1 year with my grandparents. I was 7 because my father was going to move from the city that he planted a church to our city in that transition. So they sent me to where my grandparents live. My grandfather was a minister, it didn't click until years later, where I knew how tough it was ministry. He died from a heart attack. It was the church who killed him, basically. But he loved, and he left a big church by the grace of God. And my grandmother, I didn't know the problem. I was 7 years old. My grandmother used to sing a song based on Psalm 91. And years later, and today as I was finishing my notes for this evening, the chorus came to my mind. And I used to hear that she used to have a beautiful voice. And she used to sing like this. And I didn't know how hard maybe life was. And she sings, El que habita al abrigo de Dios morará bajo sombras de amor. Sobre él no vendrá ningún mal. Y en sus alas feliz vivirá. Oh, yo quiero habitar al abrigo de Dios. Solo allí encontraré paz y profundo amor. Mis delicias con él, comunión disfrutar, y su nombre por siempre alabar. He that dwells under the shadow of God. Come to Jesus. Let's surrender our lives to him. He can protect us. He can give us a new hope. He can give us eternal life. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the promise that you can protect us against the enemy. Father, forgive us when we don't realize that the enemy of our souls try to kill us, try to destroy our families, try to destroy our lives, try to destroy our churches, try to destroy our societies with lies. Help us to abide under your shadow. Help us to allow your word be the absolute of our moral and ethics behaviors. Help us to allow you to be our fortress and our refuge, so we can be happy, we can be safe, because you are there protecting us. And I pray for that person who is struggling with an addiction, who is struggling with sin in his or her life, that tonight that person will open his or her heart to him. Maybe it's a member of a church. Maybe it's somebody who never heard about church. Father, help him, help her to come to you and dwell under the shadow of the Lord Almighty. Amen.